Hello friends, we are studying the subject of international marketing, chapter 11. Chapter 11 is on pricing for international market. I am Professor Ashish Hathi, who is taking over this particular subject. So let's begin with our journey for this particular chapter with the learning objective that we can set for ourselves is to understand what is export pricing, the objective thereof, factors that determine the export pricing and the strategy thereof. There are various INCO terms, so we'll get a perspective, bird's eye view, so to say, and we will help you to evaluate the importance of dumping and transfer pricing. So with that, just to introduce you, like in national market or a domestic market, international market also pricing decision matters, and it's a different arithmetic altogether, and therefore it is challenging. Price must give seller what he needs and buyer what he ventured for. So that exchange proposition is very much there in marketing. It's all about your offering an exchange worthy proposition at a value which customer finds it acceptable, and therefore he gets into actual transaction with you. Price is relevant to the quality. Of course, we have seen that people pay different prices for the same product, be it Samsung, be it Vivo, be it iPad, iPhone. You see such a huge difference in the price, but there are people who buy and pay for it. So it has to do with the quality, value that you offer, etc. So pricing is equal to your revenue. That's the only variable in the marketing mix. That's the only P that brings revenue. All other are the cost factor, cost heads. So in the international market also, however, pricing is about revenue plus profit. That is how you smartly charge your product, because there are many unforeseen costs which you have to really be able to determine. So your price should be such that which may even absorb at times certain unforeseen costs that you may have to incur. Revenue is definitely more important than the profit in international market, as many experts say. Any pricing objective must be consistent with the overall organization objective. So when your pricing that you are working upon, it has to first in sync with the marketing objective. If it's a penetration that you are looking for, then you have to be reasonable with your pricing. But if it's a market leadership position or you are like a challenger brand, you can probably vie for the higher prices to also showcase to people that we are equally good, etc. If you are a leader and you are having a large share, you are exploiting the market, you are getting value for the money, that you are value that you are offering, for which you are charging them higher. So these are the things that one need to look into it. If you are innovative, people will pay for it. So this is a grammatical representation of a pricing objective and the determinants thereof. There are two nature of determinants. One is internal factor, second is an external factor. Internal is within the control of an organization. External is something which is not in their control, but you have to be aware about, and you have to be accordingly deciding your pricing. We are going to take internal, say, starts with the product. External can start with the competition or a demand. We will get into it one by one as we move forward. But broadly understand, internal in the hands of the organization, external are something which is beyond the organization's hand. But organization is affected, impacted. Therefore, you have to be consideration. You have to have a consideration towards absorbing that in your pricing strategy. So first is the internal factor, the cost that we start understanding. Every product and product manufacturing has a cost attached. Now, costs are of a different type. It starts with the material cost, the labor cost, overheads, etc. Something fixed cost and variable cost and semi-variable cost, that also can be a concept that you should have in mind. However, in the export market, what differentiates it, along with the product, this cost, there are modification costs, adaptations, we said. As I gave you earlier also the example, automotive manufacturers selling beyond India has to make their vehicle left-hand drive. So that is a cost in itself. Product modification, exports packaging may have certain requirements. Export combination that you offer abroad has to vary. That's what is the cost itself. Export packaging, which is that physical and a secondary packaging, labeling, labeling guidelines, etc., will be different. So meeting them. Also the risk, because your goods are moving at that time, the ownership, if it is in your hand. And then the credit checking, the buyer, you know, buyer financial credibility, etc. So each aspects, the documentations are different. You may have to train those people out there. So those aspects add to the cost. And not only that, there are other things also like tariffs and, you know, custom duties, etc. So those are the costs that are incremental. Incoterms will reveal another aspect. So that's how, after the buying and selling transaction is done, but what are the terms in that? When actually the goods ownership passes on to the buyer. So till that time, all costs has to be accounted for, which is different from the national market. Second comes the product. Product is, of course, we have studied a lot about it, but it's here, it's up to the quality that, you know, that you are working towards, you know, quality that you are offering, because price are related to that. If product has a high value, then you can get the positioning right and then get the premium pricing possible. But for that, the quality has to be high. And if product requires a service orientation, then you should also factor in various supplementary and enhancing services that you will offer. For that, it costs you. Firm strategy, I have earlier also covered to you in the new product development, etc. Versus, we have studied those different things, you know, product extension, product adaptations, or a new product or an innovation. So this is a strategy. So what is the strategy that you are going to adapt for venturing into international market or capturing or developing there? If the firm already have a high international repute, then entering with the price line which is acceptable abroad, you know, then that gives you the power of entering with the same price line in the new market, and that credibility, reputation will be able to give you the required value. Then comes the marketing related activities. You may have to do a different kinds of marketing altogether, which will be the case where the communication adaptation also has to happen. So activities such as the market research, your advertising gambit, the publicity, promotions, etc., which may require different kind of a funding and the cost related with that. So that has to be also absorbed in your cost calculation when you do. Okay, either you apportion it over a period of time or you absorb when it is incurred. That's a different aspects. Product life cycle, we have understood what is product life cycle. So it goes through that four phases. Especially during the growth, etc., you have power to increase. So when you are at a growth stage, that multiple strategy that we studied, dual stretch or say upper stretch, lower stretch, etc. So that is a power that you get. Okay, and that's a power also enables you to gain better price. During a decline, when you are needing, you know, support in the market, when you want customer consideration still to be in your favor, etc., and you might have to do the push strategy using the selling technique. So you have to have the pricing fixed friendly manner. Okay, at the end you will have to switch off pricing to liquidate your inventory. So you may have to get into a pricing which may be no profit, no loss, etc., but it allows the liquidation, even liquidation of the network stock, because if that is not liquidated, network will not buy your new product. So that's a product life cycle. We get into, so we have so far studied the internal factors. We get into what you call an external factor, something which is not in their hand, however, needs to be absorbed. So first is the competition. It's not in your hand. Competition has so many faces, so many parameters. So intensity of the competition, nature of competition, whether there are full of competition or one or two competitors, a kind of thing. The profile of competitor also, though not written out here, means they are MNCs or they are local manufacturers, etc. Their pricing strategy all will have an impact on your pricing strategy as well. The demand. So demand is always the driver. If the supply constraint is there and you are also one of the manufacturer, but despite your production, the supply, this thing is going to be still constrained, then you are in a case where high demand is there, supply is not there, so you are able to probably command. And that scenario will determine the elasticity or inelasticity of the product. So petrol is today inelastic. Despite so much is cost rise, people are not reducing, they are not able to reducing the consumption. So we are reached pre-COVID level and even it is still growing. So that because there is a demand supply gap and people need it, you know, eventually. So that one is to take into account. The third is the third is the consumer. So consumer is how is the dynamic in the market? Does consumer have a alternative product? Does consumer have a other competitor to fall upon, etc.? What is their consumption habit? What is their buying preferences? So those are the aspects beyond demographic, culture, etc. that impacts their way of consumption and a way of buying. So that has to be in mind. Economic conditions are the external, totally external this thing, which is whether the economy is a growth oriented, whether it is struggling, whether it is in a debt trap, that all will determine. Also the composition, whether agrarian, service dominant or a manufacturing dominant, etc. So those things will also determine the disposable income, the age group profiling, whether more working group of people is available or more old age group of people available. That all will have an impact on the economic condition of a country. Today, in 2022, it is said that the old population in India, in China, is a big constraint in their growth. While India is a labor, this thing, old age population is not out of hand. There is more working hands available in India. A channel of distribution, the intermediary is involved, their setup. So you are multi-level, right from sole selling, wholesaler to retailer, how it is, you know, what is for your kind of a product category, the channel available, whether you want to get into horizontal channel, which is your own online direct channel, etc. The kind of a personal selling that is required by your channel staff, etc. So all those things will determine. Okay, because you'll have to train them as well. Expected commission, kind of a trade promotion that you might have to do to encourage your trade partners to accept your product and push them in the market, etc. So that will determine. Differential products. Does your product, is your product different? Okay. So when product has certain features which offers either the similarity, then you are not offering anything distinct. But if you are offering a different aspects which is exclusive to your product, then you are differentiating yourself through a product itself and you are in a position to charge premium pricing, okay, or a higher pricing than the average. Other legal and regulatory factors, or this is what kind of a governance out there, what kind of a legal system, speedy redressal or a dragging, you know, redressal mechanism, etc. What kind of tariff, taxes that government imposes on any product coming into country or going out of the country. So that's a legal requirement. So we get into the third section, information required for export pricing decision. So what kind of information do you really require for that same? Okay, so first is the product cost. So you need to have a complete idea about the product cost, which is nothing but the cost of a raw material, the labor, the overheads, which is admin and add-ons, as we say. Then cost of distribution, all to do with your channel, managing the channel. So selling, packaging, transporting, ensuring goods till it is under your ownership is safe, etc. Storage, etc. Cost relating to the exports. Okay. Product modifications, that is the first thing, right hand drive to left hand drive automobile. Documentation that you may have to furnish with it, you know, ARI certification, special inspection needed every consignment, so that, etc. Okay, hazardous chemicals have far more documentation needed. Exports packaging, what kind of a packaging expected by the buyer or the country, so to say. Exports marketing costs that you have to incur to get attention of your buyer and prospects and, you know, them buying from you finally. Transportation, insurance, handling. Now, all this thing comes into the Incoterms, okay, for the foreign business. So, we'll get a brief idea about it, but that's a cost related to the exports. So, finally, you come into the cost estimate perspective. Now, cost has to be estimated based on the Incoterms that has been agreed upon. Just a bird's eye view is given out here. We are getting into the separate section on Incoterms. But if it is either, say, free on board, so till the goods are boarded on the cargo vehicle, ship liner, etc., that cost is your cost. Okay, carrying and forwarding, or CIF, carrying, insurance and forwarding. So those are the costs that you will have to incur. Okay, so we'll get into it, whether by sea, by air, so altogether a different cost, okay. handling charges both at the destination port, if till them, if it is Incoterm says it is your responsibility, etc., or airport handling charges, duty, taxes, tariffs, clearing agents, you know, you will have to use clearing agents to get your cargo free, etc., transport from the point of port to the buyer warehouse, etc. What is the importer's margin vis-a-vis wholesaler and retailer's margin that you are offering in that country? So these are those other cost estimates that you need to be aware about while you work out your costing. Regulation in an export country, if there is any regulation that is there. So many countries have a overriding this thing, which they declare either the floor price or they offer duty drawback schemes to encourage exports, etc., or prohibit import, or encourage import if those items are not at all manufactured in your country. Import replenishment, that's also a scheme. Kind of taxation, the railway freight available to you. So these are those regulations in the country of exports. Okay, regulation in export country. So we have to be aware of those aspects. We are talking about information required for exports pricing decision. So these are the things that is required, starting with the product cost, cost of distribution, cost relating to the exports, cost estimates are other costs, which is based on the Incoterm that you agree upon, and regulation in the exporting country. That is the country where you are exporting. So the country which is exporting from you, these are the regulations out there that you should be aware about. Okay. Regulation in the importing country, the country which is kind of getting the goods from you. So import duty, quota restrictions, source of supply related restrictions, country of origin, okay, substitute products, country may, you know, wants to prevent an import if there is a substitute available. So they want to encourage that use, various terms of payment that is possible with that country. Okay, so that is the thing that needs to be checked up. Other relevant data. So that's the complete other relevant data, right? Starts from the market, the external factors, consumer attitude, the price sensitivity, what kind of inventory level the network prefers to have, or they need everything just in time, etc. The kind of business policy that the network operates with vis-a-vis your business policies, etc. Trade agreement. Between various countries, there are certain special agreement. Okay, so bilateral agreement, they are said. Or most favored nation, you may give a most favored nation a take to certain countries like Bangladesh, India has say like probably given, or Sri Lanka, most favored nation. So you deal and you remove unwarranted barriers and unwarranted tariffs, etc., and make the transactions very smooth. So those aspects also needs to be known by you. So this is our overall understanding about information required, okay, for export pricing decision. So having that, we move to the exports pricing strategies. What kind of a strategy one can take? Now pricing is therefore a very strategic decisions and need to be taken into account various environmental, internal, competitive, vis-a-vis product and the brand perspective that you have, you know, in the market, the brand positioning that you command. Besides this, whether you are entering the market or you are already established in that market, so that's another factor. Whether you are new to market or you are established, then you are introducing some other product, or you are increasing, or you are time for you to increase or change your current price, etc. Also the product life stage in which your product is in that country, okay, vis-a-vis the home market, that also determines. If your home market is deteriorating but this market is picking it up, you may have to work out in a price where you probably can extract so that this loss is at least offset, etc. But if this market is growing, you are entering new out there, then maybe this market can absorb. So there are various things, the PLC into the market where you are trading business versus the home market where this product belongs to, that determines. So you see so much of a complications out there. So some of the pricing strategies that we will study, there are seven in nature, so to say, and I will take you through one by one. So right from skimming, which is rapid or slow skimming, penetration, which is rapid or a slow penetration, then it gets into various like a pro pricing, the follow the market leader pricing, the differential trade pricing, standard exports pricing vis-a-vis the differential pricing. So let's take them one by one. additional three are transfer pricing, trial pricing, and flexible price strategy. So we will effort on this, not that every price strategy will be discussed in detail, but so now let's go back and understand briefly this pricing strategies, skimming pricing strategies. As the name suggests, this is possible by the company who is already, before even this launch in the new market, is a very popular, internationally favorite, maybe internationally leading brand. Okay, so in that case, when they enter a new market, it is possible for them, due recognition about their brand and the position that they will have when they enter, they are able to charge a premium price. That's a skimming. They know that after they introduce this product and over a period of time, there may be some trade-off that they will also have to take into account because competition development and the consumer changing preference, etc. But they want to ensure that the today's position is capitalized in their favors. Therefore, they will get into very high pricing on launch. Now, this is the two variations, rapid skimming and slow skimming. Rapid skimming is a shorter period is considered to recover most benefit that one can have with the high price. So here, you know, during launch, your costs are also high, you are advertising, you are promoting, etc. So idea is like not to allow that cost to be spread over a longer period of time. Within a short time, it is projected that you will recover, and for doing it so, you will have to therefore have a higher than normal higher price, higher than normal skimming price, so that in a short span of time you recover and you even make a profit. So that's a rapid skimming. Slow skimming is here the balance approach is taken. You know that leeway available to you is for say appropriately say 3 years, then all the costs that you incur are also apportioned over 3 years, and accordingly you charge higher than average price, which will be lower than what you would you charge in the rapid skimming, but you are still in a premium pricing category. So that's a slow skimming. Penetrative pricing strategy, here obviously as the name suggests, you are fighting a competitive battle. Now this can be either competition has intensified and you have to like kind of, you know, increase your market share, etc., or when or you are entering, you want to have a foothold. You want to have a customer trial increased, you want to have more consumer preferring you, etc. So therefore, to create that differential in a quality versus the price that you are offering, and knowing that the people will like the quality, and then when they see that you are at a price which is very attractive, they will start preferring you, they will start trying you more, they will start repurchasing you more. So with that objective, what you do is to keep your prices lower than what otherwise average would you have charged. That's a penetrative pricing strategy. Again, in a rapid penetration, you try to in a shorter span of time grab more consumers. Okay, so that you probably have a higher discount, but you are expected to get much more number of customers to your basket, while the slow penetration takes a judicious view as to within certain frame of time you are supposed to recover or get so much of a customers. So various costs incurred, etc., apportioning that, you try to put a lower price, but they may not be as low as what probably in the rapid penetration. Others are the pro pricing strategy. Now that's a strategy where exporter is entering a new market, he is not aware about the market, the preference, etc. This is generally true for the small and medium scale enterprise. You know, they do not know the trade channel and their way of working. They do not know the channel margins, etc. So now in such case, to have one hand the consumer, you know, interest also develop, face the channel related challenge, etc. This person gets into the pro pricing. He will have a pricing at which he is trying to taste the blood, as you see, and then accordingly play his tactics later on. Follow the leader pricing, simply like you know who's a leader in their market, you know what their positions are, you know what pricing they are, and you know as to what premium over what the cost that they could be incurring that they are charging you. Accordingly, perceptionally you figure out what is the quality acceptance your product will have, what kind of customers will buy, etc., and then accordingly you fix up your pricing. It has nothing to do with your, say, costing, etc. Of course, you have to keep the profit and the cost perspective definitely alive. but you are following the leader. Differential trade margin pricing. Here, you are trying to have a multiple channel approach, and each channel you are trying to have a different kind of a margin packs available to them, different kinds of trade promotions that you work for them, etc. So you will try to have a pricing in a way that you are trying to create a interest of the trade also, and you are protecting that the final delivery cost at the retail end is also not something which is out of hand, because ultimately you have to look at what cost it will get sold in the market and will it be acceptable to the consumer. So you try to play with your trade margin, different channels that you adopt, you try to do it, and eventually try to see that you have a very balanced approach to the trade margins that you are offering, to see that your standardized price or your price at the retail is acceptable to the consumer. Standardized export pricing, as the name suggests, irrespective of the market, irrespective of the countries where you are, you will follow one certain standard pricing methods. That's the standard. So the price variation will not be too much. Price variation may be only on account of additional cost that you may have to incur. Otherwise, standard pricing. It also is done where product have a factoring where arbitrage, in the sense, if you do not do that, then as a result, what may happen, that customer finds out that in this distance place, your product is cheaper, and therefore he will try to arrange, or there will be intermediary who will try to get the source that from that country and sell it here, affecting your local trade people. Laptops and those digital items, once upon a time it was like that, where people used to go to Dubai with the carrier. Other guys' expenditure also they will bear, and they will bring number of things out here, and then they'll sell it in India, which will be still cheaper than the otherwise available laptop and camera prices, etc. So you see, that was because the standardization the manufacturer couldn't achieve. Differential pricing is, yes, you will have each separate market, separate pricing. Separate pricing, that's a differential pricing that may lead to arbitrage. You are compelled to have lower price somewhere. Now, that product from that market may get leaked into your other market, thereby affecting the trader's business out there. So that's a differential pricing. It is done generally if you have a very large continent, you can separate the movement of goods, etc. Then you can probably get into differential pricing strategy. Transfer pricing, what happens, many large and multinational companies, etc., with the kind of a spread that they have either got into backward integrations and those things. So they require raw material, required chemicals, etc., but produced by them. It may be in some other country that they produce, etc. Or they have like kind of outsourced some organizations completely dedicated to them. Yeah, and doing the production for them, 100% capacity is devoted to that manufacturer. Now, in such case, what is done is to have a transfer pricing. So, if the goods move from one unit to the other unit, which is within the same company, then there is a concept called transfer pricing. And that transfer pricing as a subject is definitely under investigation every time by the foreign trade commissions, etc. Because that's how foreign companies, multinational, try to kind of pay less, to the government kitty, but they take away the major chunk when the profit happens, because they kept the transfer price low, and they show that overall those companies were into losses while the parent company makes the huge profit. Trial pricing strategy, here what is different is probe pricing is, you are totally probing various elements of a pricing, in that market you are totally unaware about it. While the trial pricing strategy is, what is done to encourage consumers to try your product. So at what price level you see that more and more customers come and try your product. Those who are sitting on fence, those who have never tried your product, competitor product, user, they should come and try your product. So that's a level which you decide and do that pricing, that's a trial pricing. And flexible, which is a price strategy, you will localize as per the emerging marketing trend. And so you will be dynamic, you will be agile, you will be keeping your eyes, and you may either of the above, or you will create your own strategy out there and do the pricing, which is a flexible pricing. In such case, the organization has to be agile, have all the information, etc. So what we have studied is an export pricing, of course, in brief, the strategies. Now we get into the costing side understanding. Okay, so there are costs, but there are different types of costs. that one need to be aware of, which is a marginal costing. If we are to understand, marginal or a differential costing, as the name suggests, is the accounting approach. It's an accounting mechanism which is very prevalent in the export pricing, and it impacts the cost of product that you offer into the international market. Now, before I get into the look at the logic, you are producing for your own country. You are almost at 80% capacity utilization. So, most of the overheads and all are getting absorbed very well. Now, you want to venture into export market. You may just require 5% more utilization. So, this thing will get into 85% utilization or say 90% utilization. Now, whether it is appropriate to bombard them with the all fixed cost and, other costs, etc., or just see that what is that you have to incrementally pay to produce those 10% more volume, so then you are competitive in the market, international market. So that logic around that, this conceptual market, the marginal costing is developed. Here, fixed cost is allocated over a long term, considering that their benefits accrue over a long period. So many times even that is not recovered, or say it's been apportioned over a long term, so that you know that you are going to now build that market out there. So that whatever that is required as a fixed cost to develop that will be apportioned over a longer period. So here the price is equal to direct cost of the product plus fixed cost apportioned over a longer period of time. The fixed cost can be apportioned to volume numbers also. So instead of recovering fixed cost in a one particular period, it is apportioned over a period of time. Now it could be apportioned fixed amount over a period of time for every unit. So every year, so apportioned over say 5 years, for every year fixed amount or amounts, particular amount linked to the volume. So depending on the volume produced, particular amount get apportioned. So with that total pre-introduction expenditure. So here I'm just trying to help you with the example. Total pre-introduction expenditure is at 10 lakh rupees, launch advertising 5, cost of product is 100, expected volume in first year is 1 lakh number. So what could be the pricing using the marginal costing this thing? So it is rupees 100, which is the cost of, that you have derived, which is the cost of the product. So rupees 10 lakhs divided by rupees 1 lakh, which is the expected, volume. So that rupees 10, that's how the cost has come. Rupees 5 lakhs to 1 lakh, there is rupees 5, which is your advertising and those expenditure. So equal to 115 plus profit margin. Okay, now marginal costing minus pre-introduction, that is marginal costing is pre-introduction and advertising expenditure are spread over 3 years. Now I am introducing you to the concept of marginal costing. Suppose this advertising expenditure and those expenditures is spread over 3 years. So price will become what, 100 rupees, okay, that is 10 lakh rupees divided by 3 years, so that is 3.3 lakhs, so that is 1 lakh plus rupees 5 lakh is divided also over 3 years, so that is 1.6 for a particular period. So price will be what, it's rupees 105 only, so 1.67 plus 3.33, so you are only burdening your price by rupees 5 versus rupees 115 if you have gone into the pure arithmetic of fixed and variable cost. Here now it is, you have the base price fixed at 105 plus profit margin that you want to incur. So that's an understanding of a marginal costing. Book has the same thing available. Thank you.